mothers.
And others.
Somewhere in the music industry, between sex, drugs and rock and roll and the Wiggles, is the rest of us. Music Mothers and Others is an audio parents group about popular music. A chance to discuss how parenting fits or doesn't into music industry life. During the series, we'll talk to people from across the industry. Artists, promoters, techs, broadcasters, writers, academics, teachers, anyone who has a gig in industry, whatever that means. Hosts are Liz.
Hi.
And Shelley. Hi, that's me. And we are industry veterans, academics and parents, as well as members of the broader village.
Today, our Music Mothers and Others guest is Heidi Braithwaite, who is an icon of the behind-the-scenes workings of the Australian music industry. She's worked as a publicist, copywriter, media strategist and general muso wrangler, extremely important work that makes sure that those that make the music find their way to the ears, eyes and diaries of those who want to hear and see it. In 2006, Heidi founded Riot House, which is now a passionate group of creative industry workers who keep the wheels turning behind the speakers and the stage. She's also a board mama. Is that a Freudian slip? She's a board member at Music Victoria and a passionate leader in the music industry, showing by example how parenting and the creative arts work and can coexist. We are in awe of her organisational excellence, let alone her exceptional eye and ear for spotting and supporting talent. Hell, we're in awe of her talent too. Welcome, Heidi.
Thank you very much. Oh, that is such a complimentary intro.
True. Hey, Heidi, do you mind starting off by giving us a bit of a rundown of your background and your road to Riot House, if that's the way we'd talk about it?
I actually started out working in hospitality. Got stuck there for quite a while. Got stuck, I mean, because I was enjoying earning money and having fun. But then obviously realised I had to come up with something else. So I went and studied public relations at Swinburne. Was like one of the only ones paying attention in the course, I think. Everybody else is 18 and just there because they had to be. And I just impressed the right teacher and he got me a job before I'd finished the course. It was in the public affairs department at CPA Australia. So as far from music as you can get. But I worked there for about a year, I think. So it was really dry, but it gave me the groundwork for dealing with media and doing, you know, the horrible stuff that you do when you start out, like cold calling just hundreds of people on a list and reciting the same kind of thing to them and being enthusiastic each and every time. And from there, I saw a job at record label and publicity company and got it. And I worked there for a year and then lost my job just inexplicably. It was a real shock. But then that week I found out I was pregnant as well. So it was like literally 3 days after losing my job, I found out I was pregnant. And so I didn't go back to work because I kind of felt like anywhere I apply, I'm going to have to leave. And I can't imagine that anybody would have hired me at that stage anyway, with such a small amount of experience and no guarantee that I was coming back or when or anything. Yeah. I went up, had my baby. Then when he was about 6 months old, a friend of mine contacted me and she was managing a band. She said, I need a publicist to do this tour. The label won't do it. So can you do it? And I was like, oh, I haven't done any publicity in about a year. And she went, it's fine. Just go and get an ABN. And I did. And that was it. That was literally the start of my company. After that, I, got a business name and set myself up properly and worked from the kitchen table in my house. And the jobs just kept rolling in and I just didn't look back.
What was it like having a six-month-old baby and starting your own business? Were you scared? Were you ready to embrace the challenges, the new challenges of work, or are you still in that love bubble of the newborn?
No, I think, you know, he was actually the motivation. It was that I want him to grow up and see I was able to do this. I wanted to kind of make him proud in a way, when he was older. And it's not going to be, if he ever realizes, it's not going to be until he's much, much older. He's 14 now. But, and he's, you know, mum's incredibly uncool. So he's not going to be proud for a very long time. But that was the motivation to keep going, to get started and keep going and to get better at it and get more work and, you know, kind of show him, yeah, I could do it. And, you know, like his father and I split up 2 years later, and that became an added motivation for me to show him, look, now I can even do it as a single mum.
So this flexible work business that people are facing now, you're like amateurs. Look at you lot.
I know. Well, the work from home thing is like, that is all I've done. I mean, for a very long time. I'm so fine with it, and working at odd hours and everything. It's, yeah.
And just so we're clear too, now Riot House does encompass this group now of people, doesn't it? And so can you tell me a bit about how the what the business is now?
Well, there's actually only two others, so...
That's a group. That's okay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and we've had other people in the past come and go. I don't know. We work really well together and we work remotely. I can't imagine doing it any other way. And as much as I've loved having other staff, I feel like we're really set in our ways now, you know, and kind of incorporating somebody else into the business would be, I don't know, it's just too hard. Just too hard. And I think because publicity is changing constantly, we're spending a lot of our time trying to stay on top of that. You know, like the media landscape is depressing at best and just and evolving to, you know, incorporate things like social media and everything. And we're just kind of figuring out, do we head more down that path or do we stick to traditional media only? You know, and, you know, we're getting older and kind of going, I don't know. Do we want to do that? Hi, I'm Heidi Braithwaite and you're listening to Music Mothers and Others.
People who are in the music industry sometimes have particular memories about music when they were a young child. So maybe can you tell us about how you encountered music when you were a young child? Was it through a TV show or radio, or maybe your parents had an awesome music collection or played lots of, you know, lounge room gigs at home? So tell us about your early memories of music in the family home.
My mom was, I kind of always joke that she was the seamstress for the band, a la, you know, Tiny Dancer, because she was for a while. Her and her sister used to actually make the stage clothes for a bunch of pretty well-known Melbourne bands in the 70s. And that's how she got to know my uncle, who then introduced her to my dad. And yeah, they've always been, everybody's in my family's somehow been involved in music, either through the business side or the actual performing side. So it was never not a massive presence in our house. And I actually think my dad was not in a band for, I reckon it was only 3 years or something. And it was like, it was because we moved from Sydney to Geelong when I was 10 years old and we knew no one there, like not a soul. And so he'd left the band that he was in Sydney, and we moved to Geelong and kind of sat there and twiddled our thumbs for a bit. And then somebody just out of the blue called him and went, oh, I heard you'd moved here. We have a band. We need a singer. Would you like to join? And he's still in that band, you know, at 72. Just he's always, always, always performed.
But what about you? Were you going along to these gigs, or you just sort of, you had all the musicians like hanging out in the family home, or you'd say, see your dad, you're off to another show. Yeah. And was he composing music at home? Like,
no, he's not a real writer. He's a performer, and he would say that himself, and my uncle, more performers than writers. Almost at that point where you forget that not everybody's dad spent every single weekend out playing at a show, you know? It's so normal in our family that, oh yeah, yeah, Saturday night. So, you know, if he didn't have a gig, it'd be like, hey, what's happening?
Would we know some of the bands that he was in?
No, my dad, no, probably not. He was in originals bands in Sydney when I was a baby, maybe just before that. And then after that, he's been in cover bands since then. So, you know, and played, you know, he plays pubs now in Geelong and around that area. But before that, he was playing a lot of private functions, corporate, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it'd be every every weekend without fail.
And in terms of you as a kid, were you listening in the family home to so-called kids' music? Were you listening to like Sesame Street or some of the songs that, you know, were on TV, or you had some Muppets albums, or were you just listening to the grown-ups' music that they were playing?
Yeah, I think I only liked grown-ups' music from memory. I don't remember ever getting into, and I'm even trying to think what, no, I can't even think of what the kids' music, aside from Muppets.
Not that you need more than the Muppets.
No, exactly. That's right. You know. But when I was a kid, I was into like Cyndi Lauper.
Awesome.
I do remember my mum telling me that I used to watch Young Talent Time religiously, and to the point where she and my dad used to call it lobotomy time, because I'd just sit there at the TV, mouth agape, because, I was obsessed with that.
Yeah. And Tiny Tina Arena as well.
But Tiny Minogue's.
Yes.
Tiny Debbie Byrne. Yes. Yes. No, see, that was you just getting to know the industry. Yes. That was you doing your homework. As you'd know, you can't afford to be a snob. You've got to know what's going on, don't you?
Right. That's right. Yeah. I love pop. My parents hated that kind of music, pop, I think, back then. They're, massive, huge Beatles fans. Can't say a bad thing about them. But, so me getting into things like Cyndi Lauper and stuff, I think they were kind of like, okay.
It's rebellion though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if your family have already got something cool to do, you've got to go the other way, right?
Yeah, no matter what it is.
Girls, they want to have fun. Girls, they want to have fun.
What do they really want?
Fun!
You've already mentioned a bit about your family situation and that your music industry relationship really came back with motherhood, like the two of those things were so tied in together. Do you mind telling us a little bit about, and you've talked a bit about juggling those things, one of the ways that we connected was the Facebook group. Do you mind telling us a bit about that and your ideas behind that?
Yeah, sure. So the Facebook group is called Music Industry Mums. I started it, so I've got three children now, and I started it, I think my youngest must have been two or three or something. I never had a mother's group. I went to one when my eldest was a baby, and I hated it. I just remember looking at all these other mums and going, and just thinking, you're not my people. Just because we have a baby now, we're meant to be best friends. I wouldn't ever have anything to do with you, I don't think. We don't have anything in common. It's so weird. So I never went, and I didn't feel like I missed out anyway. I felt like I had a good support group with, you know, my sister and my mom and other friends around me. So I was okay. But it just kind of came up again after my third, when I just thought, you know, there are other women in music who are dealing with this weird juggle. And it is unique in the music industry to have to work these weird hours and, I don't know, deal with unusual problems in the industry and also juggle having children. And it's not, you know, I guess any different to fathers. You know, I'm sure that they have the same issues, but I don't know. I guess at the end of the day, mums do take on a lot more. It doesn't matter how equal the situation is. They just still do. So I kind of felt like we needed a space to talk about stuff, share things, just vent even occasionally with absolutely, you know, nothing to come out of it, just to vent, to get stuff off your chest. So I just set that up, and it's worked really well, and there's a lot of members now, and there just seems to be even more joining, you know, it just more people that come out of the woodwork as well, that there's a lot of women that keep it quiet having babies in this industry for fear of, you know, not being able to get work again. Like I did after my first child, I thought there's no way I'm going to get a job being pregnant, you know.
That's the hard thing, isn't it? And I mean, I remember when we first met, I remember just thinking, oh my God, exactly that. I don't have I don't have anything in common with these other people just because we've procreated, you know. but you're right to that kind of, do you share, do you not share? And Shell and I, that's one of the things we battle with, not only with this, but also we're both academics. We're now publishing about parenting because it's exactly that. Do you ignore it? Do you pretend it doesn't exist? Or do you just lean all the way in and hope that you can count, you know, claim them on your tax, which is where we are. Where do you sit with that now? Are you out and proud?
Kind of think about how men do treat it, and how, you know, say if you're in a meeting with men who, if they kind of go on about how many kids they've had, or, oh, you know, just had a baby, so not getting much sleep. And I feel like the reaction generally from both men and women is, oh my God, that's so great. What a great dad you are. And how good you are to be juggling or whatever. Whereas if a woman says it, it's like, the reaction's either, shoot, is she going to be able to cope? Or it's get over yourself, like everybody does this kind of thing. Sure. You know, it's definitely, there does not seem to be that kind of praise that men seem to get.
Yeah.
Just doing the same job or doing the bare minimum, really, sometimes. but yeah, that's kind of been my experience. And I mean, I say that as, you know, my partner is, I think, extremely equal in the care of our children. I shouldn't say I'm lucky. That's so stupid to even say. Like, we should.
Because it should be a given, right? You know.
Exactly. Yeah. But I do feel lucky, you know, because it is.
I think you're absolutely right too. We don't even have the language, do we? Because the base expectation is that the mother does the work, and anything the man does, you're absolutely right, is praiseworthy. We joke in our house, with respect though, and the same thing, my partner does a lot, he does a lot, but it's a matter of what he does is praise, or if he does something wrong, he's wrong, but I'm also negligent for having let him have a go at it in the first place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's because you become the boss of like two worlds, don't you? You become the in charge of the children, and then the expectation is that, you know, the dad is babysitting, you know, if he's taking care of them, and it's, can you babysit because I've got to make this call? I mean, it doesn't certainly work that way for all families, but that's, I hear a lot of that. And it's just, it's the language we use to talk about fathers that gets perpetuated, right? That has that image that they're secondary and you are primary. And look, sometimes that is the case, that mums are primary, and sometimes Liz has got a baby strapped to her right now, a sleeping baby as we're talking, because sometimes babies just want mums. Sometimes babies want dads too. But I mean, it's such a hard push, isn't it? Yeah. And so if for someone like yourself who runs her own business and with three children, do you try to keep the kids out of that world, or do you just, you know, say to clients, look, I'm just taking care of my child now, or just, you know, look, I've got to do a school pickup. Like, what do you do? Do you try to sort of leave that be or include that?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think it has depended in the past on who I'm talking to. There are certain clients that I feel quite comfortable being honest of, you know, like, no, I can't do this at that time because, you know, there's one day a week where I have my youngest at home, and then the other days he's in daycare. So, you know, that day's out. And then there's been other clients, you know, particularly young guy clients who I've kind of gone, no, I just can't do that time. I'm busy or whatever. And not explained that, no, I have to do the school pickup or, you know, anything to do with children, because I just think you're not going to understand, you know. I know that's probably not helpful. That's probably perpetuating a kind of a bad culture. But, you know, that's what I have done in the past. I think now less, I care about that less. I think because so many people are working from home, so many people are juggling and, you know, doing Zooms with children running around in the background, that I think it's a little bit more accepted. I know that even, you know, my partner, if he has a Zoom meeting, which is a lot of the time, that children coming in and out, he doesn't care. He will just kind of go, oh, hang on a second. Yeah, can you just go out of the room or whatever?
Yeah.
He doesn't stop him. He's not embarrassed or anything. Whereas I'm kind of like, maybe that's because I just prefer to have the focus rather than, I just don't want the distraction. I'm kind of like, no, I won't organize anything until I know they're out of the house. But yeah, I don't think it's out of embarrassment. I think it's just out of, please don't distract mummy while she's trying to concentrate.
Hi, I'm Dave McCormack, and you're listening to Music Mothers and Others.
Well, I want to think about how today you've been describing your family as being involved in the music industry. And I noticed that in a really fantastic interview for Mother's Day you did with Jane Gazzo for Australian Music Vault, you referred to the music industry as the family business. And I know that your aunt Linda Carroll is the founder of The Push, which is Victoria's amazing youth music development organisation. And your uncle, who we haven't really mentioned here, is the legendary singer Daryl Braithwaite. So it must definitely be in your blood. And with this in mind and your professional experience, what changes can you recommend that we make to the music industry so it can be this kid-friendly and parent-friendly space? Now, that can be gigs, or that can be the way industry works, like how we're describing right now, professional things. You must have some gems of insights that you can share with us.
In a way, like I said before, the lockdown situation has kind of been a bit of a blessing in disguise, in that it's changed the workplace to being at home. So it's given a lot of people who maybe don't have children a bit of a window into what it is like, and the juggling and everything like that, and the normalcy, I guess, just normalizing working around children. But yeah, I mean, as far as things like gigs, I think it's headed in that direction, or it started to anyway, with really great festivals that incorporated kids and parents, you know, like Fairgrounds and Lost Lands and things like that, which don't dumb it down for the parents, don't make it, you know, because that's the thing. I really hate events that it's just about the kids and the parents are kind of just going there to mill about and, I don't know, supervise. Because I kind of think, you know, we're going to kids' birthday parties every other weekend at this stage. That's enough. It's, you know, if we're going to another kids-only event where the parents are just there, it's just like going to a kid's birthday party. And they can be a chore, to be honest.
There's no chance to have a relationship there either, is there?
No. You can't. It's so much better if there's something for everybody, and those kind of whole family events, like those festivals I mentioned, I think that's the pathway to it, you know, and that's again normalizing a family situation rather than just this is for kids, this is for adults.
Heidi, we always ask our guests what you and your kids are listening to. So could you give us just a little rundown? What's playing in your house at the moment?
We're obsessed with Hamilton in this house at the moment. And I know it's really funny because pre-chat, you mentioned that. But it happened because we noticed that it popped up on Disney on the TV. And I just said to my six-year-old son, well, let's watch this. And he watched it with me. And I thought, wow, this is way more complicated a story than I realized. And I have no idea about American history or politics, you know, to that degree. He's going to hate this and be bored of it, and he's obsessed. And every single day for the past, I reckon, 2 months, we've either listened to it or watched it, and now we're walking around the house singing it all the time. Like, it's incredible. And the more I've watched it or listened to it, the more I'm into it, the more I find out about it, and the more interesting I find it. But yeah, it's mainly driven by my six-year-old, who's really obsessed with it, loves theatre in general, and the four-year-old's kind of gotten into it just because it's what his older brother's doing, I guess.
That's amazing. That's so good. And Lin-Manuel wrote the Moana soundtrack.
Yeah, which they also love. So, yeah, they're big fans of Lin-Manuel right now.
That's the end of another Music Mothers and Others episode. Thanks so much to our guest, Heidi Braithwaite, for coming on the show today. Music Mothers and Others is a show written and produced by Liz Dufresne and Shelley Brunt. We're broadcast on Sydney's 2SER on 107.3 FM, and we are also a podcast. Find our episodes on all your usual services, such as Apple and Spotify, or our website, musicmothersandothers.com. We'd love you to leave a review. It would make it easier for other people to find us. Feel like getting in touch? Want to know who our next guests are? Visit us on Facebook and Instagram and leave us a message. See you next time.